Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. This is Corporal Tim Thornton from the Military Exchange Talk Show. Did you wake up today and say, I'm not living in the America that I grew up in? A 3% tax on tea eventually led to the American Revolution. Now you pay up to 70% of your earnings to a de facto corporate government. You are groped at the airport, surveilled on the street, spied upon in your own home, fed propaganda by the media, lied to by your representatives. Have your rights eroded, your currency devalued, and are we on the verge of an overt police state? Is this a WTF moment, and you're asking yourself, what happened to the home of the brave and the land of the free? Well, at the Military Exchange Talk Show, we address these issues and more. Current events, military topics, veteran right issues, and WTF moments. Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR. This is Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti and Corporal Tim Thornton. Welcome to the show, Armin.
Thank you, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Good, good. We're going to try something different today? Yeah.
It's okay. A new show. Explain to the people out there about Civil War Radio.
Okay. As many people know, there's a lot of strife going on in our communities. So we've talked, and we believe that it's best to talk things through. I looked up the definition of civil and war. So I think what we can do is we can be civil, which means mannered, a polite way to act. And war could also mean to have a difference of opinion that you're willing to discuss and kind of battle it out verbally. So that's where the idea of Civil War Radio kind of comes from. So it's our definitions of civil and war. It's not blood and guts like we were taught in our history classes growing up.
It's not promoting violence. It's trying to promote a civil concourse between two people or two thoughts.
Yes.
And hopefully we can do that.
Yes, yes. You know, being citizens that are able to speak our mind in a peaceful manner and solve problems together.
I like that.
Okay.
So what do you have for us this week?
Well, you kind of kicked it off when you mentioned here in the city of Canandaigua, they're talking about resolution number 2017-115 that has to do with rejecting hatred and bigotry. So if you get a chance, Tim mentioned it a couple weeks back, and you can look this up. If you go to the City of Canandaigua's website, they're going to have a city council meeting tonight, Thursday, November 2nd at 7 o'clock, to discuss. This is on the agenda, so maybe they'll get to it. But I want people to read this and think about it open-mindedly. It sounds good. You've read it. I've read it.
Let me say a positive about it.
Okay.
So here's the positive side right away about Canandaigua's hate and prejudice petition. I read European-based hate and prejudice petitions in other states, other countries, and they all felt the necessity to name categories, name groups, name cultures, name individual type of a format, you know, something that you would specifically fit in.
Mm-hmm.
This petition does not name that, which okay. is interesting, and I think it's better, because that was my biggest gripe was, you're leaving me out. Well, how am I not a category? So that's one good thing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to have on that?
I think, based on what I've read, that the main purpose of this resolution, and I'm going to read just two sentences. We condemn racism, xenophobia, sexism, homophobia in rhetoric or action, period. Hateful acts, bigotry, and intimidation are in direct opposition to the principles of respect, dignity, and fairness that are community values and embraces, which I agree with. Where it gets a little dicey is that this resolution could possibly lead to regulation. Now, how do you enforce these different actions that have been condemned? How do you prevent these from happening? And then what do you do if they do take place?
Well, in saying that, I believe that part of the reason behind this petition stemmed from the police officer in Geneva who they said posted racial remarks on his Facebook page. In actuality, he did post a picture of himself, I will say 4 years ago or more, with a rebel bandana on his head, like a bandana. And there was a survey that he took, and that survey ended up with whether or not you're truly a redneck. Now, other than that, and that's it, and the person is like a known agitator that went through his every police officer's Facebook page to find something. So, you know, we all have, like, mine started in 2010. So you could go all the way back to 2010 and see if you can catch me on something, right? Well, that's what they did. And this is the one guy out of the group of officers. And he found that, which is, in my opinion, not a lot. The bandana, he could have easily have changed his opinion since all the Civil War rebel flag talk, right? A lot of us have readdressed that issue. So, but they used that old Facebook post from many years ago for a current today. And that officer is actually, he's on disability because he threw his back out, which he already had a bad back, while he was trying to save a life of someone giving them CPR. So here's a guy who gives it all. He's been on the force for 18 years. Some agitator decides, I'm going to make a name for myself by finding something on somebody. Here it is. Then all of a sudden there's Facebook posts everywhere, social media, which in my opinion is also part of hate and prejudice. When you're just pumping out that Facebook social media to get an agenda across just so you can stir up trouble or try to make your own fake news point. So this is kind of like the basis behind it. And I say that because I did have an off-the-record interview with another city official who said that's kind of what started this petition. They saw that, didn't like it, plus what's going out in Ferguson and Charlotte and all that other place. So here's the petition. Sign this and say you will not do these things. But I guess I was wrong. They did name names. They said xenophobia. What was the other one?
Sexism, racism, homophobia, in rhetoric or action.
What about gender? What about class, culture, fat people? See, that's my point. And I'm okay with all of it. Put everybody, everything you can think of on the list, and then we all sign it. But then we're going to get to this point. And I know I'm jumping in on you, but I just sometimes I can't wait. So I'm at a restaurant. Now, and my point is, to what end does this ever stop? Now, this just happened to me. I go to a diner because I like diner Greek food. Greeks run diners. They own diners. They have in Rochester forever. I go to Italian restaurants when I want fine dining. When I want to go have a good time, I go find an Irish bar or a bar with the Marine Corps flag, which is kind of the same thing, right? It's either going to be an Italian bar or an Irish bar. So, and I like doing that. I know I'm going to go find a group of people I probably got something in common with. So I asked for breakfast to go over my eggs and potatoes, Greek meaty hot sauce. And I actually got called out by the waitress. And she said, sir. And I said, well, I'd like to put the Greek meaty hot sauce over top of my eggs. And she said, well, we have a meaty hot sauce. I'll bring it out to you. So she does. And then I said, oh, that's great. That's the Greek meaty hot sauce. I felt like I had to say it again because she acted like she didn't know what I was talking about. She goes, sir, we just call it a meaty hot sauce. And then I went to another restaurant that's owned by Greeks. And I go, can I get the meat hot sauce? And she goes, do you mean Tabasco sauce? No, I mean the meat with the hot sauce. Oh, Greek meaty hot sauce. Yeah, we got that. I go, it's okay to say that? She goes, sure, we're Greek. So here's my legal question here. I sign my name to that petition. I mistakenly ask at the lowest level, I would assume, but apparently I got called out on it already. I asked for, Polish sausage. Does someone get to go back and say, you signed that petition, but here you are pushing a culture into just sausage, just Polish jokes, just Irish, we drink beer and we fight on St. Patrick's Day? What happened to my freedom of speech? What about if I want to clarify something? Is it really that offensive? Are you really that burdened by allowing people to talk about their culture? Because I'm proud, and I'm going to say it for the 100th time. I am not all white. I am only half white. If you don't like it, and I've had people in here say that, then there's the freaking door, because I don't care. Right, so this isn't coming from a guy who doesn't at least empathize.
All right, do you want to take a commercial break, take care of business?
All right, we'll be right back after this message, and Armin gets a chance to talk. Welcome back to Canandaigua, 1310 WOKR Civil War Radio. And this is Armin Marinetti.
Thanks, Tim. Boy, lot to think about here. I guess what my view is slightly different. For example, xenophobia. I had to look up the meaning of the word, xenophobia.
I thought it was something against Wonder Woman. I don't even know what it means, to be honest with you.
I'm going to paraphrase here from the Webster Dictionary, but it's fear or hatred of strangers or foreigners. That's what that means, xenophobia. So you kind of hit on that when you were talking about the Irish and the Italians and so on. And I think there's a bigger issue. We're close to the same age. We were brought up, sticks and stones might break your bones, but names never hurt me.
Right.
And that really helped for 60-plus years. So what I think is the issue is enforcement. You're going to start off with a resolution that sounds really good and everybody should feel this way. And I like to refer to the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated.
That's right.
That if we all did that, we'd have a lot less trouble. But what if a resolution becomes a city ordinance? What if somebody sees an opportunity to raise revenue with a city ordinance? From the research I did here in New York State, one of the things that can happen if you follow certain guidelines for a hatred and bigotry ordinance is that you might be able to extend the jail sentence if certain things are done during the committing of a crime. For example, you call somebody a name that refers to any one of these, their sex, their gender, their country of origin. Now you may have just kicked it up a notch. Who decides that?
You know what this sounds like, which I've always in favor of, I guess. Swearing is a breach of the Monroe County Code of Conduct. So if they were to enforce this, they would call it a code of conduct for Ontario County or the city or town of Canandaigua, let's say city right now. And there, so say you drop the N-word, you get a fine. Should you get a fine for dropping the N-word? I would think so. I kind of like it. But is it practical, legal, logical? No. Because where does it ever stop? So, yeah, they could do that with a code of conduct. And if you say, well, all right, this robbery was prejudice in nature, then not only do they get time and a fine for the robbery, but then they would also get time and more fine for the prejudice, like a hate crime. But a hate crime we can agree with. We're talking about free speech, one of the five parts of the amendments.
Boy, again, a lot to think about. I'm going to use my Italian heritage. I was born in America. I've always considered myself an American. But I've heard other people refer to Italians as Dagos or Wops, okay? Those words mean nothing to me. They don't hurt me. They don't offend me. They mean nothing to me because I was born here. And I'm American.
And you're also proud of your culture.
Yeah, I am. You know,
if I hear Mick, depending on how many times you're really trying to get my goat, most of it I'm just going to laugh it off.
But even more importantly, I also realize that culture is made up of people, and people do bad things. So even though I'm proud of the good things, I am really upset about the bad things, which is okay. It's not one culture or no culture. It's good or bad. So seeing this and reading this, I had to go back. Remember the old 1984 novel written by George Orwell? It was written back in the 1950s, and it was futuristic.
Yep, we
so
read it.
I had to brush up on it because I forgot so much of it. But I was reading a summary, and they're talking about thought police. How do you know what people are thinking? Oh, by what they say. Okay, but you know the English language. Sometimes you may say one word thinking a different meaning, like civil, than I am. Okay?
Well, there's a word that I used the other day just to prove a point. It rhymes with the N-word, and it means cheap.
Yeah, I looked that word up. I know exactly the word. I'm afraid to say it.
I would never say it. Not today. But what if I had?
So now,
then what?
In a sense, by us being
it was misinterpreted.
Yeah,
right?
By us being afraid to say those words, isn't that kind of just the opposite of what a resolution like this is trying to do? It said intimidation. I feel intimidated.
Oh, I wouldn't know what to... How could you talk if you can't order hot sauce? If it's that level, what can I say? How do I say it? Are we going to get classes on this? You know, like an internment camp where I get to get the big screen and, you know, a little bit of electric shock. Where does it end? We're supposed to be the culture of a melting pot. Therefore, we should embrace and love the fact that we're all different.
Yeah, I agree. You know where it might end? Maybe this is where it should end. I don't know where it's going. But where it should end is that we should be able to laugh things off, be a little bit tougher skinned, and not be offended by things that aren't meant to be offensive. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I worked in the city of Rochester as a school teacher. When I was interviewed, the gentleman asking me questions said, as a teacher, you're going to be called names. People are going to swear at you. Is that going to offend you? And I said, I kind of laughed. And I said, no, it's not. There's only one person that can offend me. That's me by my actions. A teenager calling me a name can't offend me. They don't even know who I am.
That's right.
But if I do something wrong, I've offended myself by my actions. So I got hired.
So. Well, they knew you could take it. I'd like to say I grew up in this area. I'm from this area. I've traveled, I don't know how many continents, all over the world. And I've always been proud to be from the Rochester area.
Yeah.
And in saying that, when I was confronted with any kind of racism or prejudice, and people would say, well, what about you? I'd say, and I swear to this, I'd say, I'm from Rochester, New York. We got over that stuff a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the generation that they want to sign this petition is the problem. I think a lot of us grew up in the 60s, 70s, and were adults by the 80s. Mm-hmm. And by then, I'm going to tell you this. I think racism was kind of had gotten its ugly head kicked. It was almost gone. And then all of a sudden in the late 90s, and then now the 20s and the teens, mm-hmm. right? Now it wants to rear its ugly head again because the younger generation has forgotten where we were. When we were singing Ebony and Ivory and the Coca-Cola songs about getting along and loving each other, where do you think that came from? Mm-hmm. That came from decades of strife where the rest of us made great leaps and connections and friendships with other cultures so that we did get along. And we did. And let me tell you this, a platoon of military does not come out of that with a lot of racism. with a lot of prejudice, because you take out of 30 guys, people from different countries, different cultures, different pay grades, different religions, different colors, every shade of the rainbow, right?
Yep.
Especially in a Marine Corps unit, and you got to accomplish a mission. You can't come out of that with pure hate and prejudice by the time you're done with your 2-year, 3- or 4-year tour. It's impossible.
A good friend of mine, Marine, Skip Anderson, always says,
yep,
all of us bleed red. Doesn't care if where you're from, the color of your skin. That's their motto. We all bleed red. So
I agree. That's a good place to end the show. This has been Civil War Radio, and with Armin Marinetti and Corporal Tim Thornton. And we'll be right back with this message and then on to the Military Exchange Talk Show.
What's the matter, cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
From FLC Veterans Club, Melissa Springsteen, who's the vice president. We call her Red the Boss. She's a petty officer, third class from the U.S. Navy, and currently an LPN nurse. And Red, if you would, introduce your co-host.
Right here next to me is Dave Stock. He happens to be FLCC's Veteran Club's president, and he's also a student. He's also a former shipmate, U.S. Navy, and he's here right with me.
Welcome, guys.
Welcome, yeah.
Thank you.
Say hi. Step up to the mic and say hi. Tell us what rank you were in the Navy and what you're doing right now.
Good morning. My name is David Stock, like I just mentioned. I was in the Navy for 8 years, and I was a Navy Master at Arms, a second class petty officer, and I got out in 2010, and we're just trying to do some good things here at FLCC.
That's great. That's law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Yes, sir. So, might as well, we'll cut to our interview, which is with the Finger Lakes Veterans Club. What does FLCC stand for?
Finger Lakes Community College. Oh. Do you know that was originally called CCFL, which was Community College of the Finger Lakes, but they changed it because everybody was calling it SIFL, which sounded like syphilis.
Oh, no.
Yes. So yes, that's a reason that got changed.
Oh, so now it's Flick, like a booger.
That's right. So well, now they
Flick.
Yes.
All right. Well, Flick. So tell us about, I know you guys got this big event coming up for veterans matched with FLC. Tell us about it.
We have actually many events coming up. We're starting it off tomorrow, Saturday, November 4th at 11 o'clock. We're having a first annual Armed Forces 5K race. It's either walk or run. It's open to the community, and it's free of charge, no registration fee.
Yeah, it starts at 11 and ends at 2. Walkers, runners, event is free, like we just mentioned. It's a big thing because I know a lot of 5Ks in the area cost upwards of $25, $35 just to register, and you have to do it like months in advance. But we're accepting anybody and everybody, and this is our first annual, so we're trying to see a good turnout. There are participation medals, so even if you don't run, there's a chance that you probably could win a participation medal. We're just trying to get the community involved, trying to honor all veterans in the present active duty that are serving now. So it's just to get the community involved, and we're hoping for more turnout now. We've posted all around town in Canandaigua, Clifton Springs, the VFW, American Legion, disabled veterans, everywhere. So we're just trying to get the word out, and And we really appreciate us, you guys having us come on.
And our local Wegmans here in Canandaigua, they generously donated to the 5K.
Beautiful.
Yes.
They're very nice.
Now, is there going to be a company doing PCR timing, or how are you going to keep track of the runners?
So Mike, Mike Tucker, he's alumni. Mm-hmm. And he was a prior Veterans Club, big advocate. And what he's done, he's actually come back this semester and helped set up a lot of the 5K. He has his own computer, and he has a TV. So we looked at timing, but it was just too much money. It was out of our budget range. So he has a professional setup, and I seen it last night. He sent me a picture of it, and he's got like a TV monitor, like a 40-inch monitor or something like that. And so you can see your time. So and we also have bibs and stuff like that. So as soon as you cross the finish line, you'll have your correct time.
Sure.
And so the top, we also have the top three finishers on both male and female. So
awesome. And shortly before Veterans Day, too. So what better timing than to have this race now? I'm excited. I hope you guys get a good turnout. Where is the course? Is it pretty flat? So, you know, for someone who maybe isn't running all the time like myself, is it something I could get out there and do without a lot of training?
And high heels.
Yeah. True story. I know.
So the 5K course is on the cross-country course. It's what the college uses for their women's 5K. For their cross-country team, there's a 5K for the women's that they usually run, and then an 8K.
Okay.
And it's the 8K is, or this 5K is exactly what we're using. So it's, I would say it's intermediate at most.
Okay.
It's not beginner course if you're a new runner, because there is a pretty good hill. It runs right alongside CMAC. So where the lawn seats are, there's
quite a
significant. So.
Mm-hmm.
But you're allowed to walk, too, so.
That's my favorite kind of 5K when I can run and walk and run and walk.
I'm helping provide first aid support with one of the professors who teaches advanced CPR. He actually has a shop here in Canandaigua as well, Hargrave.
Yes, Holger, Professor Holger Stave. Stavey? Stave.
Stave.
He is a, he teaches first aid. And CPR, he also has like a shop on Main Street, but he's going to be our main medical. So we've...
What's his shop?
I don't know the name of it off the top of my head.
What's he do?
Save lives.
At the shop?
He teaches first aid. He also does fingerprinting.
That's the name of his shop.
Oh,
it's on Main Saving Street lives. In Canandaigua?
I think it's 225
does that sound
South Main.
Anything you know, Mike?
Doesn't sound familiar to me. I don't know.
It's a small shop. It's back in the corner, but
no, but I'm gonna check it out.
There you go.
It's behind Burn Dairy.
There's a bunch of small shops in that area.
Oh, yeah, I can put yeah.
All
right, great. So now tell us about the dinner dance.
Yes, so then on Friday, November 10th, from 6 to 10, we're doing a dinner and dance, and this is open to public, and not a lot of people know because they see armed forces and they think it's just for military and that sort of thing, but it's open to everyone, whether they served or not. This is to honor our community. This is to honor local veterans, students, veterans. And basically, we're offering a decent meal. We do our selling tickets. But we have a whole schedule for this layout. We have like honor ceremony. Then we have a dinner. We hired a DJ to come. We hired a photographer to take pictures. There's a picture opportunity if you want to.
They're going to do it in uniform?
So I'm going to be in uniform, yeah. So you're welcome to come in uniform. It is a formal event. So it's a black tie event, tuxedo, evening gown. We are asking all to attend to that's a dress attire, so formal dress attire.
Right. Well, I got to plug this. We have a PX inside our store. So we provide ribbons, medals, and uniform attachments, you know, shirts, pants, jackets, shoes, everything.
Tim, you got a tux for me? Yeah.
Well, if you don't,
sure.
If you don't have a tux, the men, because a lot of the people can't afford to either rent a tux or they don't have one handy, and giving it, it's only a week's time notice. If you have a nice dark
suit
to wear,
you'll let
blazer,
us in.
Tie. We'll let you in.
If you're a veteran, I might be able to provide you with a uniform with proof of. of military service.
So what, like they bring in a DD-214 and you say, okay, I can hook you up with
their VA address? Their VA card, or their some of these guys might still have their active duty card, something, just something so that
sure.
I know we're doing the right thing. And
nice.
Then, like I said, we have a lot of stuff. That's what we do.
I don't think there are enough of these dinner dances. So I know over at Granger Homestead, Chris Kindle's having one tomorrow night, actually. Well, it'll be tonight now, airing on Saturday, but Saturday night starting at 5:30. And that you guys are having one the weekend after. I think that's awesome. I don't think there are enough events where we get to dress up and go out. I love to dance. So just being able to go out, you know, with somebody that you want to have fun with and have dinner and a dance, that's awesome.
I believe that FLCC is actually the only college that does something like this for our veterans. FLCC is one of the top five colleges in the nation that is known for their help and higher education for veterans. They're a very, very vet-friendly college.
That's great.
If I may plug one more item on our list, that same day at 1 o'clock, and you may have seen signs down Main Street, they are doing a FLCC Veterans Day ceremony. I'll be doing a speech to commemorate our veterans, but mainly we're having a Korean War veteran come and speak as a keynote speaker.
Nice.
And there's a whole ceremony. They do it every year. FLCC, it's not associated really with us. It's just the FLCC likes to honor veterans, and it's a very big event. It means a lot to me. But they do it every year, and that's at 1 o'clock on campus at the auditorium.
That's tremendous. Now, is there any involvement with the vets from the VA hospital? Is there any way that you get them involved?
Yes, there's. So one of our events in the week, and I could talk real quick, one of our events in the week that we set up. So leading up to Veterans Day, we have events for students. There's going to be military trivia on one day. This next day, on Wednesday, middle of the week, we have recruiters. And that's from 10 to 3, and I've invited all the recruiters. I was also able to get a hold of VA, and they're sending about 2 to 3 personnel for suicide prevention and just to get the word out. And so there was a liaison that we had at the VA. Her name is Wanda Martinez, or I'm sorry, last name is Miss Martinez. But she referred me to a few other people. I apologize, I don't have those names off the top of my head. But they are coming out. So they want to be active. They want to get the word out to veterans, especially student veterans, because a lot of them are coming right back from deployment. Like, I came right off of deployment, went right back to school for a little bit, and I wanted to be more involved, so I became the president, and I wanted to try to get the word out. But there's 150 plus veteran students at FLCC now this semester.
That brings me to my question. Why the Vets Club? Is it something that's needed? Is it something that's appreciated? I have my own opinions, of course, but and my own experiences, which I shared with you guys off radio. But tell me what started all this.
So the Vets Club's been around for quite some time. It's kind of morphed. It was called something else before. But it's mainly here to support all veterans, family members, their mothers, dads, brothers, sisters, uncles, whatever. We have the answers. You come to us. We're here for support. A lot of camaraderie that comes along with serving. We like to continue that. And we've already had many. I've reached out to a few that they're hurting. They're not. They went on deployment. They came back. They have PTSD. They have these horrible conditions that they come back from because they've seen some stuff over there. And we're here to help. We're here to help that. We're here to encourage everyone to just, it's just like we have a room downstairs in one of our, in the library, and it's for, the club is for all veterans. It's for all veterans, veteran family members, and we don't want to exclude anybody. Even if you didn't serve, we want you to come. It's to help out. It's ask questions about benefits that you may be missing out on. We have many contacts. There's a Veterans Outreach Center in Rochester. And they're pretty packed, but we have his number, and we gave him, like I gave him number to him, and or a number to a student, and he called that Dave Oliver in the Veterans Outreach, and he reached right back to him. He had, they're very good with getting back. But our club is to help. Our club is to get information out. And
there's a lot of students, too, whose parents, the younger students, whose parents are deployed, and they would come to us, and we would get to talking and everything. And it's our Veterans Club is not only is a great support system, and I'm speaking this personally, it's a family, and you're able to share stories or experiences, and you just grow to learn from one another. And it's a big, and it's not only the Veterans Club, it's Jenny, the director of student life, and our advisor, and Herman Heeman Sweet, great guy, he's a professor of anthropology there, and it's in Tucker, who was a student there, an alumni, and he's back helping us, and it's just something that it's, you always have that familiarity where you just go back to each other, and because you have basically each other's backs of support, so it's a great support system.
I didn't realize that the club was more than just kind of a social or a common group for veterans, but you really are providing support and transition services from folks coming back from deployment or, yes, to your point, you know, yes, folks who have families perhaps that are deployed or involved in the military. I think that can't be underestimated. That's tremendous.
It's a great outreach program.
Being a devil doc with the Marines going Greenside, once they hear that, it's like, I never left. I still have Marines calling me, or, you know, it's, you know, we support or provide a big support system. So it doesn't end when your contract ends. It's something that we're in it for life, and with a community, with our fellow students, friends, family, and you know, they don't corpsman up is a saying for a reason, and it's lifelong.
That's great.
We want to thank you guys for allowing us the opportunity to come.
Definitely.
Today and talk, not just to put out information for local veterans and the listeners, but for, we appreciate it. It's we're trying to make this an annual event. This is going to be an annual event every November. And so we're starting off, we're trying to get as much outreach as possible. And you guys, thank you.
Well, thank you guys for your service.
Thank
you for yours.
Great guys and girls and being on our show and doing what you do out there and helping our vets. Is there a Facebook page or anything for the Vets Club?
Sometimes people can reach you? So because we are an official, there are different things we have, but we do not have individual. We have, like, individual as in Mike Tucker, who, like I mentioned, the alumni, who's helped with this all of our events.
How do people reach you?
They can come to the college and ask us directly at the college. We don't have individual Facebook
pages. Or call
pages.
Jenny, student life director at FLCC, and the number is 394-FLCC, and just listen to the prompts.
Is there information if they go to the Finger Lakes Community College website on an events page or something along
that? Calendar.
Yes, there is. So great. If they go, I apologize. So if they go to the FLCC website, there is a calendar of events, and you can click on each day, and it has a little mini description on each event that's happening, and that includes the student run events as well.
So at this 5K. You got the run, the dinner, and the speaker.
Yes. Yes.
So, and who's the Korean War veteran that's speaking?
Oh, yes, it's Ralph Calabrese. That's Mr. Ralph Calabrese.
Ralph Calabrese, sure.
Okay, yes. Great. Well, tell him to give you that, read the poem. That's all I'm going to leave you with.
Okay.
He wrote a poem. Hmm. You won't be able to have a dry eye in the house. Okay, thank you. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. And thank you, FLCC Veterans Club, Melissa Springsteen, and
David Stock.
David Stock. Thank you.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities like Blue Star Moms, New York Wounded Warriors, and the Marine Corps League. Have a hard-to-buy-for person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. Airsoft guns for $25 and under, a wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Welcome to the Canandaigua 1310 Table Talk with Tim and Ron. Local interviews, news, politics, and all the scuttlebutt about town. Canandaigua Inquirer is an opinion show about our local community, its people, businesses, sports, and all the ins and outs of daily life. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. And we'll be right back after this message.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York, militaryexchange.co.
Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR. This is Three Men and a Microphone, where we are first in local news. And we have a guest today, Mr. John Goodwin, Canandaigua City Manager, and he's going to talk to us about the city budget and the upcoming preparations for possible protest.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate the invitation. I need to apologize. I'm recovering from a head cold, so my radio voice is, I never really had a radio voice, but it's even worse than it normally would be. Last night, I presented the recommended budget to City Council at their first budget session on November 1st. In summary, we're proposing a levy increase of approximately $93,000, which is 1.89%, which is within the New York State tax cap law, so we're under the tax cap. And it actually is a tax rate decrease of 11 cents, so it's a 1.6% decrease of your tax rate. So the tax rate will go down from 704 to 693. So there's some significant changes we made in the budget that I'd just like to go over briefly. We're adding a police officer, additional police officer to the budget. We're increasing some hours for our part-time police officers. And that's really to help us focus on more of the drug investigations. The Chief Hedworth has been doing a really great job in working with the county and the other law enforcement agencies to create a drug task force for our county and our region here, and we want to provide the manpower to make sure we can appropriately staff that. And he's also been working on becoming more of a community policing department, and we need to have more manpower to make sure that we're out at community events and in the schools and in show that, you know, we show that police are our friends. We're here to help. We're not, you know, so that's one of the things that we're focusing on, and Chief's been doing a good job doing. The other thing that is added to this budget is a deputy fire chief. I know the fire department staffing has been an area of discussion for the community for more than just this year. I'm adding a deputy fire chief, or at least I'm recommending adding a deputy fire chief to the position or to the department. This will provide four men on during the day when volunteers are least likely to be available. And it also will help our new chief Frank Magnera, and our new recruitment efforts to recruit volunteers to increase our ranks there. So, you know, those are two significant changes to the budget. We're able to do that with minimal tax increase. You know, as I said, the levy is going to go up $93,000 approximately. you know, a lot of people will focus on the tax rate, you know, and compare that to other communities. It's not really an apples-to-apples comparison. You really should be looking at the levies. So, you know, that what's the effect on the average single-family home? You know, we did have a reval this year. So the average single-family home was assessed at $160,000 this year in 2017. That is going up to $166,000 in 2018. So once you account for that, your average tax bill is going to go up approximately $23.50 next year. And I think we provide a very high level of services for the taxes that residents pay for the city. So I think that's a pretty good deal, in my opinion. The other increase in the budget is in our water fund. As everyone knows, it rained almost every day. It's raining out right now as we speak. And that really impacted the consumption levels of our water fund. And the largest revenue that we get in our water fund is different from the general fund because it's an enterprise. We treat it like a business. So it's based on user fees. So when the use is down, we're not getting as much revenue. But our costs are relatively fixed. We have to run that plant so that when you turn your faucet on, water's coming out. So our costs are relatively contained. We're actually decreasing the budget in our water plant by 11%, mostly related to capital expenses. But the rate is proposed to increase 3% from 322 to 331, and that'll raise the minimum bill $1.08 per quarter. So you're looking at a minimum bill with your sewer and water going from 80, 86 to 81, 95 next year. As the sewer fund, we're proposing no change in the rate at all. So that's a very quick summary of the 2018 proposed budget.
John, I got a couple questions for you.
Yeah.
So does that make with the fire department now 4 full-time employees?
So our fire department, we have the chief. We have 9 firefighters, and this position will add another deputy chief underneath Frank. So the way it would work is you would have the chief on duty from 9 to 5, the deputy chief on duty 9 to 5, and then we have 2 firefighters on duty they're on duty 24/7. So during those 9 to 5 hours when, you know, volunteers are mostly at work and least likely to be able to respond and help us, we will have 4 firefighters on duty.
Great. Now, the second question is, have you heard that the Canandaigua Water is passed some big test about a couple months back, and they said it was very good water?
It's more than very good water. It's the best in the state. And I want to, you know, brag a little bit about, you know, our water treatment plant operator, Peter Verkler. He also won the award for being the Jeopardy Award for being the smartest operator in the state. So one of the things that I think is our greatest asset as a city is the dedicated and smart, hardworking staff that we have working for us. And Peter Verkler is one of those great examples. But he has a great lake to draw water from to start with to keep that water clean and tasting well. And that's another area that we try to protect because it's not only our drinking water, but it's also the lifeblood of our economic development in the region. So, we do have the best tasting water in the state. That's a fact.
Can we sell that water, bottle it, sell it, commercialize it, make money off of that idea?
That's something that's been looked at in the past. And that would be a big operation, and I don't know if that would be worth the expense, you know, any potential revenue there. We're not Pepsi, we're not Coke. You know, we're providing our resident services. That's what we're doing first. And then if the community so desires, we could do that. But again, we're also limited in the amount of gallons we can take out daily from the lake. As with the towns, we also sell to the town of Canandaigua, the town of Manchester, the village of Manchester, and the town of Farmington. And as they continue to grow around us, even though our consumption was down this year, it has been an increasing trend. Capacity is going to be an issue in the relatively near future. We don't have a lot of access that we can just share with the rest of the world.
You know, I drink carbonated Canandaigua water all the time.
Okay.
I have one of those carbonation machines, and I go right over to the faucet that you guys have basically provided, And I like my Canandaigua carbonated water.
Well, carbonated is not my cup of tea, but that's fine, you know. So, you know,
you're drinking a soda now.
Well, I'm drinking the ginger ale because my voice and the head cold, but normally I'm drinking just regular water from the tap because we do have the best water in the state.
That's true. And I got to say, as a man-to-man, you have a great beard.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I said it once before on the air, but I didn't get to say it to you directly, but it's very full, very handsome.
I appreciate that. And, you know, every once in a while it gets a little wild. I have to trim it, which I did yesterday. And some of my other city manager friends, they poke fun at it, but I do appreciate the compliment.
Let me tell you, it's the day and age of beards, for sure. Now, John, of course, we have another subject. As you know, it's on the news. Reverend Al Sharpton is making waves, wants to probably make some kind of a example or – I don't even know if I like that word. But he wants to make something here in Canandaigua, some kind of statement. So what, as a city, what are we doing?
First of all, you know, you can understand the family's grief. They lost their mother. It was a tragic incident that occurred. And I don't think anybody wants that to happen anytime. So you can understand, you know, their search for understanding of what happened. And I know they're calling for independent investigators, which we do already have. The state police has been investigating this from the very beginning.
That's right. They are separate.
They are.
That's the whole point of them being state police.
Exactly. You know, we as our Canandaigua Police Department, you know, we recognize, listen, this involves one of our officers. We can't touch this. You know, that's not right for our officer, and it's not right for Ms. Gardola in this case. We got to make sure that, you know, there's justice for the officer and for her. Make sure that the facts of the case are determined and there's a thorough and independent investigation. I know a lot of people, can get upset about the time that takes. With investigations, but, you know, to be, you know, methodical and make sure that you get all the facts of the case, it does take time. We're in a day and age where you want information as soon as it happens, but, you know, that's just, it's not exactly how it works. So I just wanted to recognize that. I can understand why the family is searching for understanding and want to know what's happened, and the facts of the case will come out when and most of them have from the state police, and it will be going to grand jury, which essentially is a citizen review board, because those are citizens of this county that will be reviewing the facts of that case and determine if there should be charges or not. At this point, it doesn't look like there should be, but again, the investigation needs to come out and the DA needs to present that to the grand jury. Now, in regard to any potential rallies that may take place within the city, we have not been contacted at all from the family or Al Sharpton about any planned rallies. Our First Amendment right is to have a peaceful assembly. It's one of the five rights in the First Amendment. We will welcome that here, just as we do other rallies and events for other causes. We have contacted and met with the state police and the sheriffs to be prepared in case something gets out of hand, just so we have the resources. We all hope that never comes to that, as in getting out of hand. But they do have the right to peacefully assemble, and we will accommodate them if they so choose.
Very good. Would you like to leave us with anything?
I think we have a pretty good city here. We've had some recent big events here that. And people have feared for their safety. But I can say that, you know, these are isolated events. You know, they make the headlines because they don't happen every day. So with the officer-involved shooting, and then there was a murder at Camelot that same week. And we've come out publicly saying that the community is safe. There's nothing to fear. We can say that because we know a little bit more about the details of the investigations. That, you know, we can't really share publicly yet because it's still an ongoing investigation. But I can guarantee that, you know, the community's safe. There's nothing to fear. You can walk the streets of Canandaigua the same as you would before those two events.
That's great. Well, Canandaigua is a great city, and it's also a great town. And from all I can tell, from what I've heard, you're doing a great job. And everybody's, you know, living a pretty prosperous life out here. We're doing good.
Well, I appreciate the compliment. We do have a wonderful city. We've got a lot of great things going on. We've got a lot of developments, exciting developments going on as well. Just outside my window at City Hall, the Labelon building, people might notice that gravel parking lot behind is fenced, and there's some remediation work taking place there. So that's getting ready for construction. They've got planning and zoning board approval to convert that building into an apartment building. Add a penthouse to the top. So that's an exciting adaptive reuse of an old manufacturing building. And it is a brownfield as well, they're cleaning it up. We've got the Lisk manufacturing over on Gorham Street. That's also getting redeveloped. Pinnacle North is getting ready for phase two. And we are having ongoing discussions about they're requesting an amendment to their PIF, so that will be something that the community will have to be involved with and discuss going forward. And then there is some movement on the hotel project as well, and I'm pretty confident that we'll have something to report to the community by the end of the year regarding that project as well. So there's a lot of good things going on. People want to be here. We have a wonderful community, so it's a good time to be in Canandaigua.
Any word on the upcoming elections?
I stay out of that. As an ICMA member, I'm ethically bound to be non-political whatsoever.
What's ICMA?
ICMA is the International City County Managers Association. Most city managers should be, or if not all, are members of that organization. It's an organization that was it's over 100 years old, that was put together to promote the council manager form of government and to be an association to help the city managers continue their professional development. And we have a strong and strict code of ethics. And we don't want to undermine confidence in public administration. And so we are not political whatsoever. So the elections and elected officials are completely independent from that. I'm completely independent from that.
That's great. Actually, I kind of wish all local government jobs or political jobs like that were actually non-political, so that we could just get right down to the person and the task at hand.
Well, the council manager form of government, which Canandaigua's had for many years, is a good example of that. If you compare it to like a Fortune 500 company, for example, you have a board of trustees that hires a CEO. Someone that is trained and has a degree to operate their business. And that's essentially what we are doing in the council manager form of government. I have my master's in public administration, and I've been, trained to run a local government. And that's something that I think we should be proud of. And it's actually the largest form of local government in the country. 85% of our cities have that form of government. It's not as popular up here in the Northeast, but if you go out west and south and in the Midwest, you're hard pressed to find anything but a council manager form of government. So it's a good form of government that we should be proud to have.
That's awesome. That's neat to know. I don't think everybody knows that, so that's good. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I hope to have you back next month. And of course, I hope everything goes well, and hope you feel better. I don't have any secret remedies for head colds, so other than kimchi, I'd still try that.
Yeah, well, I think I'm pretty well over it. It's just my voice hasn't recovered yet, so hopefully next month I can have a better radio voice for you guys.
That's great. Thank you, John.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I came home on leave, and everybody wants me to wear my uniform, but I'm missing my medals, and I don't know where to go.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
The seatbelt ate my ribbons.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
I deploy in one day and the mail order place didn't get me my boots.
Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
My unit wants me to do an inspection when?
Iron Mike's has a PX.
We know! Iron Mike's has a PX inside.
Ribbons, unit patches, medals, shooting badges, rank and insignia, boots, socks, accus, even boot bands. Iron Mike's can even custom order dress hats and hard-to-find uniform pieces. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua and online at ironmikes.co.
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.